From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, Indonesia Today will present you Kaleidoscope 2020, Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, and Music Corner. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id and shortwave frequency 3325 kHz.
Hello listener, here is the Kaleidoscope of 2020. Early 2020, Indonesia began with big floods in Jakarta, West Java, and Banten. There was also a landslide in Bogor, West Java, and Lebak, Banten. Because of the flood and landslide, more than 60 people were reportedly dead. This early year disaster got global attention. Quoting Compass.com, some international media such as South China Morning Post, CNN, and The Guardian made coverage of the flood in Greater Jakarta. The beginning of the year was also marked with the spread of SARS-CoV-2 from Wuhan, China to the other countries. On January 15, Indonesian Health Minister Terawan Agus Putranto said in Jakarta that Indonesian government kept doing necessary steps to anticipate the heavy pneumonia originating in China from entering Indonesia. The anticipation included increased security at the entrance, both in airport and seaport. He also said that his side had standard operational procedures in anticipating the virus.
Kita sudah mulai gerakan untuk kewaspadaan itu. Semua pintu-pintu masuk.
We had begun our move. All entrance, both airports and seaports, are on alert. They use thermoscan detectors and other mainly to anticipate the virus that spread in Wuhan and even in Bangkok, Thailand. We are prepared for this. Further, Minister Terawan explained that he had prepared some hospitals if the virus is found in Indonesia. On January 24, Indonesia hosted the Eurasia CDI Forum in Yogyakarta. More than 100 high officials of European and Asian political parties attended the event theme, Eurasia, New Geopolitical and Economic Focal Point of 21st Century. In the event, which was opened by Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin, Indonesia was recognized as a country full of tolerance, as stated by centrist Democrat International CDI Secretary General Antonio Lopez.
Indonesia has long been considered the exemplar of tolerance. 87% of its 260 million, which makes Indonesia the biggest Muslim country and the third largest democracy in the world. The great country is protected by the constitution as a long tradition of religious pluralism.
On January 31st, the U.S. government, through their defense minister, awarded medals to Legion of Merit, degree of commander to Indonesian Army Chief of Staff General Andika Perkasa. General Andika Perkasa was awarded to his contribution in strengthening the relation between Indonesian National Army and U.S. Army. The medal was pinned by U.S. Army Chief of Staff General James C. McConville to General Andika in a special welcoming ceremony in Whipple Field, Arlington, USA. Let's move on to February. Because of the COVID-19 outbreak in Wuhan, China, on February 2nd, 243 Indonesian citizens were repatriated from Wuhan. They were carried on Batik Air flight and landed at Hang Nadim Airport, Batam. Then, three Indonesian Air Force aircrafts carried them to Natuna Island. They underwent quarantine. After being declared healthy, all Indonesian citizens quarantined in Natuna were brought to their hometowns on February 15. On February 9 and 10, Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited Australia. The visit resulted in the signing of POA on Comprehensive Strategic Partnership 2020-2024 and MOU on Transportation Security Cooperation. The President asked for Australians' commitment to support the capacity strengthening of Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises, more trade mission visit to Indonesia, more quotas of working holiday for Indonesian citizens, visa policy for Indonesian who will visit Australia, and the inauguration of the annual CEO Roundtable Initiative. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic in China on February 11th evening, Chinese President Xi Jinping had a phone call with Indonesian President Joko Widodo. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo expressed condolences for COVID-19 victims in China. He also said Indonesia will always be with China in difficult time. Meanwhile, President Xi Jinping conveyed appreciation for the trust and understanding given by Indonesia for China. He said that Indonesia is a comprehensive strategic partner. President Xi also said that a friend in need is a friend indeed, which has been shown by Indonesia. Let's move on to March. On March 1st, Afghanistan President Ashraf Ghani awarded Malalai Honorary Star to Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in a working visit in Kabul, Afghanistan. The Malalai Honorary Star Award is one of the highest star awards from the Afghanistan government for Afghans or international figures who had given great contribution to Afghanistan. On March 2nd, President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta announced the first two COVID-19 positive cases in Indonesia. He affirmed Indonesian government had preparedness and proper equipment to handle the virus spread. He also had formed a joint group consisting of army, police and civilians to execute the handling. The government also guarantees the budget availability for medication, handling and prevention of the virus. On March 10 until 13, by invitation of Indonesian President Joko Widodo, the King of Netherlands, Willem Alexander and Queen Maxima had a state visit to Indonesia. They visited Jakarta, Yogyakarta, Kalimantan and Sumatra. On March 10, King Willem in a joint press statement at Bogor Palace in West Java apologized for the violence by Netherlands against Indonesia, which was done after Indonesia gained its independence. In regard to this, President Joko Widodo stated that both countries cannot erase history but can learn from it.
Saya ingin menyampaikan bahwa kita tentu tidak dapat menghapus sejarah.
I want to say that we cannot erase history, but we can learn from it. We learn history to strengthen our commitment to build an equal, mutually respecting, and mutually beneficial relationship
yang saling menghormati dan saling menguntungkan.
King Willem and Queen Maxima visited Indonesia along with hundreds of business people and some ministers to discuss cooperation between the two countries. Delegates of the two countries agreed to improve economic cooperation and human resource development. On March 13, Indonesian government formed COVID-19 Handling Acceleration Task Force to coordinate inter-institutional activities in handling and mitigating the impact of COVID-19 in Indonesia. This task force works under and is responsible directly to the President. This task force is also in the scope of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency by involving ministries, institutions, and other governmental units such as the Health Ministry, National Police, National Army, and regional government. The task force is formed not only in the national level, but also in provincials and regions or cities. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Doni Monardo, was appointed as the head of this task force, while coordinating Minister for Human Development and Cultural Affairs, Muhajir Effendi, became the head of the steering committee. The COVID-19 positive cases kept increasing. On March 15, President Joko Widodo in a press conference at Bogor Palace, West Java, warned the people to work, school and do religious activities at home to prevent COVID-19 outbreak in Indonesia. However, he affirmed that the people do not need to panic. On On March 24th, in a limited meeting through a video conference on the national exam, President Joko Widodo decided to revoke the national exam for schools at all levels. This decision was part of COVID-19 response system by prioritizing people's health and safety. On March 31, 2020, President Joko Widodo signed the Government Regulation No. 21/2020 on large-scale social distancing. This regulation enabled the regional government to restrict people and goods mobilities from each region unless they had permits from the related ministry, namely the Health Ministry. This regulation also mentioned that activity restrictions that are implemented at least include freezing activities at school, workplace, worship place, and public facilities or spaces. At the same time, the Presidential Decree No. 11/2020 was also signed, which stated COVID-19 pandemic as a national disaster. The two regulations were based on Law No. 6/2018 on health quarantine, which regulates the legal basis for large-scale social distancing. Let's move on to April. On April 9th, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi in a virtual press conference said that Indonesia established cooperation with at least 9 countries to guarantee medical equipment supply in accelerating COVID-19 handling, namely China, Japan, the United States of America, Singapore, Vietnam, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and United Arab Emirates. The aid from the 9 countries valued $77.49 million. Besides, Indonesia also had received and will receive support from various international organizations or entities such as WHO, ADB, IAEA, UNDP, IOM, Global Fund, and UNICEF. Indonesia also received 42 support from private companies and non-governmental associations from China, Singapore, South Korea, Vietnam, French, Russia, Germany, Japan, and Sweden. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, most of the aid is masks, rapid test kits, and protective equipment. On April 23rd, Asian Development Bank ADB agreed the $1.5 billion funding to support Indonesian government in facing the impact of COVID-19 against people's health, income, and economy. ADB President Masatsugu Asakawa said that the COVID-19 caused heavy impact on health, social, and economy for Indonesia. So ADB supported Indonesian government through the funding, especially for underprivileged and prone groups, including women. Masatsugu Asakawa praised Indonesian government's response against the pandemic, including strong and well-coordinated economic and fiscal policies. On April 24th, 1 month prior to the Idul Fitri, Indonesian government officially banned homecoming activities that are usually done by people ahead of the Idul Fitri. The regulation was issued to prevent COVID-19 spread. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Panjaitan, who was at interim transportation minister, said that the homecoming ban during Ramadan 1441 Hijri and Idul Fitri was applied in Greater Jakarta and some other regions that have been implementing large-scale social distancing as well as COVID-19 red zones. Let's move on to May. On May 4th, President Joko Widodo joined the Non-Aligned Movement Virtual Summit from the Bogor Palace in West Java. The summit was organized under the leadership of Azerbaijan and joined by 39 non-aligned movement countries. The summit was also joined by the UN Secretary General, WHO Director General, and Chairperson of African Union Commission. The summit was themed United Against COVID-19. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, after accompanying President Joko Widodo, said that President Joko Widodo reminded non-aligned movement member countries to focus on energy and time to face the COVID-19 pandemic. Further, President Joko Widodo also affirmed that it's important to strengthen global partnership for developing countries. According to Minister Retno, the President underlined the fulfillment of commitment for development and humanitarian development, including debt relief.
Kewajiban pembayaran hutang negara berkembang bisa dialihkan ke pembiayaan untuk penanganan COVID-19.
State debt payment of developing countries can be shifted to COVID-19 or called as debt swap for COVID-19 from official creditors. This is important to be conveyed because many developing countries, especially least developed countries, are facing difficulties in handling COVID-19. On May 8, European Union Ambassador for Asia Igor Trismans launched the European Union Asian Blue Book 2020 in Jakarta. Blue Book is an annual flagship publication on cooperation between European Union and Asian. This year, the Blue Book theme, Natural Partners, that reflects cooperation between European Union and Asian, that includes trade and economic integration, connectivity, policy dialogue, and climate change mitigation and environment. In his remark, Igor Trismans highlighted the global condition which is affected by COVID-19 pandemic. He said that ahead, the cooperation program between the European Union and Asian will be focused on responding to the pandemic. Previously, the European Union had granted €350 million to support Asian pandemic mitigation.
Of course, today we all have on our minds the coronavirus. And here too, we have decided to work together with ASEAN hand in hand. On the 20th of March, our foreign ministers with health ministers and other officials met virtually, of course, to discuss what to do together to combat the coronavirus. And we'll have the opportunity to speak about that in the questions and answers session. But really, for us, this is an international fight. International solidarity, international cooperation is key to combat the coronavirus. And so it's not about looking inwards. It's about reaching out a hand, because at the end of the day, no one will be safe unless everybody is safe.
On May 21st, delegates of United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, ASCAP, member countries had ratified the resolution of Indonesian initiative titled Promoting Economic, Social and Environmental Cooperation on Ocean for Sustainable Development on ASCAP 76 session of the Commission in Bangkok. The resolution was proposed by Indonesian government as a reflection of Indonesian commitment and was expected to encourage cooperation in the Asia-Pacific in sustainable ocean management. The meeting also ratified by consensus the resolution titled Regional Cooperation to Address the Socio-Economic Effects of Pandemics and Crisis in Asia and the Pacific. In the meeting, Indonesia delegates also conveyed strong commitment of Indonesian government in facing and mitigating the COVID-19 pandemic, including various initiatives of Indonesia in various regional and international forums as mitigation efforts amid the pandemic and encourage cooperation and solidarity among ASCAP member countries. Let's move on to June. On June 3rd, Indonesian Religious Affairs Ministry announced the cancellation of Hajj departure of the 1441 Hijri Hajj or 2020. This policy was taken because the government had to prioritize the safety of the pilgrims amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi in a press teleconference affirmed that this decision was the result of in-depth study.
Pemerintah memutuskan untuk tidak memberangkatkan jemaah haji pada tahun 1441 Hijriah atau tahun 2020 ini.
Government decided to cancel the Hajj departure of 1441 Hijri in 2020. This decision is written in Indonesian Religious Ministerial Decree for number 494/2020 on Hajj Pilgrims Departure Cancellation for Hajj 1441 Hijri or 2020. According to the Constitution mandate, besides economic and physical capability, the health, safety, and security of the Hajj pilgrims had to be guaranteed and prioritized since the embarkation and debarkation inbound and during stay in Saudi Arabia. On June 12, Indonesia, along with 12 other countries, initiated the cross-regional statement on infodemic in the context of COVID-19, which was supported by 132 UN member countries. The 12 other countries include South Africa, Australia, Chile, Georgia, India, Latvia, Lebanon, Mauritius, Mexico, Norway, France, and Senegal. In the joint statement, it was mentioned that infodemic, a term used by the UN Secretary General, refers to the disinformation that can harm human health and safety, just like the pandemic. The joint statement asks all to immediately overcome disinformation and emphasize the importance of trusted, factual, accurate and science-based information access. Cooperation among countries, the UN system, regional organization and other stakeholders such as the media, social media and NGO shared a significant role in overcoming infodemic. On June 22nd, Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand established solidarity and collaboration to prepare the new normal phase in Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand growth triangle IMTGT during the IMTGT UniNet virtual conference theme Strengthening IMTGT Cooperation on COVID-19 Pandemic. Asia Pacific and Africa Director General of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry Desra Percaya said that there is no country in the world that is strong enough to face COVID-19 alone. International and regional cooperation become more relevant in such condition. The three countries share direct borders, so it is important to strengthen cooperation on the COVID-19 pandemic handling. That was the Kaleidoscope on January until June 2020. We'll be back with Kaleidoscope of July until December 2020. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI Voice Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Listener, I will introduce you Puton Tourism Village in Yogyakarta. Puton Tourism Village has a lot of tourism potential that attracts tourists to visit, such as natural tourism, agrotourism, and cultural tourism. Puton Village has an area of approximately 70 hectares. In this village, you can visit Watu Ngelak Natural Site and Opak River. People say Watu Ngelak was a stopover and a resting place of Sultan Agung at that time, when he crossed the Opak River from the Plered Palace to the Southern Sea. Now the Opak River is often used as a rafting tour for tourists. Puton Tourism Village is also known as the Durian Village because most of local residents plant durian in their yards. During the durian harvest, tourists can taste it as much. Another attraction of Bhutan Village is the existence of 20 art groups performances, among others Gejok Lesung, Karawitan, Puppetry, Majapatan, Salawat, Ketoprak, and Keroncong Music. During your visit at this tourism village, you can enjoy the available tour packages where you can learn about arts, culture, agriculture, and agro-tourism. The activities are usually mingling, integrating with the activities of the local community such as planting rice, raising fish, making batik, making earthenware, and eating durian. For the visitors who want to spend the night in this tourism village, you can camp or homestay at the residence house with a tariff of 100,000 rupees per room. Besides cultural attractions and art performances, Bhutan Tourism Village is also completed by playground and camping area, fishing, dining huts with 6 gazebos, art facilities, joglo or gallery, and prayer room. For those who are interested to traveling to Bhutan Tourism Village, find this village which is located at Bhutan Hamlet, Trimulyo, Jeti Sub-District, Bantul Regency. The location is approximately 15 kilometers from the town of Yogyakarta. If you want to visit and join with the Watungelak tour activities, it is free of charge. Tour packages are available for visitors with 300,000 rupees per group. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
New Year's Eve, 2019. New South Wales, Australia.
If you're in Mogo or surrounding coastal areas, you're at risk. Leaving now is the safest option, so leave now towards the beach and shelter in place.
My ID, you guys, because the whole place is on fire. Oh my god, my neighbor's house. Okay. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Last December, Australia recorded temperatures above 47 degrees. And in January, bushfires caused tens of thousands to flee from their homes.
This is a real nightmare. I can't believe this is real. I can't see anything. This is literally not real. This is not real. Oh my freaking god. We just have to get down this road to the beach.
Nearly 3 billion animals were killed or displaced in these fires.
All I want is my family. All I want is to be safe.
Pictures and stories continue to file out from Australia.
The last decade was the hottest decade on record.
Overnight, another onslaught from an ever-expanding inferno.
Extreme weather displaces over 20 million people a year. And just this year, we've seen Siberian fires and catastrophic flooding in Jakarta in February.
Rising death toll and massive evacuation in Indonesia.
Devastating swarms of locusts in East Africa in April. Cyclone Amphan in eastern India and Bangladesh in May.
It could be the worst the area has seen in 20 years.
Over 400 wildfires in Alaska. And in August, more wildfires on America's Pacific coast.
Well, the fires raging in Northern California have now become some of the largest in state history.
Climate change is man-made, and the main driver is CO2 pollution from burning fossil fuels. Global temperatures continue to rise. But something else is on the rise. Climate protests all around the world. From London, to Australia.
We are not drowning!
To New Zealand. Uganda.
Climate change is here now.
and it is killing people right now. The people who are looking at it right in the face.
Tokyo. India. Christiana Figueres was the lead negotiator for the Paris Climate Agreement in 2015.
The next 8 to 10 years is going to determine the quality of life for the next 100 to 200 years, if not longer. That's the race that we're in.
We all watched with amazement when exactly 1 year ago, young people from all over the world took to the streets to express their feeling that we're not doing enough about climate change, that we're not treating it like the emergency it is.
Actor Don Cheadle is a goodwill ambassador for the UN Environment Program.
It's a year later now. Have we done enough? No, we have not. And climate change is only part of this story. Our rainforests are disappearing at an extraordinary rate. One football field of rainforest is destroyed every 6 seconds. 1 million plant and animal species are on the brink of extinction. By 2050, there will be more plastic in the oceans than fish. And so climate change and our treatment of the natural world are colliding and exacerbating each other to create a perfect storm. This cannot go on. You know it, I know it, and we know what we need to do.
In 2015, the UN announced 17 Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, a blueprint to achieve a better and more sustainable future for all. We need to follow these goals to ensure that we are the last generation to be threatened by climate change. These are the solutions.
We need to reduce global emissions by 50% by 2030. To do this, we need a rapid but just transition to renewable energy. That means an end to the building of new coal power stations and an end to subsidizing of fossil fuels. Government should also shift the tax burden from payrolls to carbon. Taxing carbon rather than people will increase output and employment while reducing emissions. And we need to stop deforestation in its tracks, planting trees instead of chopping them down. We need to think about what we eat and how we produce food. Embracing healthy, nutritious diets, sustainable farming methods, and reducing food waste. The climate crisis is an opportunity. Renewable energy is cheaper than fossil fuels. Thousands of businesses are working to go carbon neutral, and the opportunity to generate clean, safe, and decent jobs is enormous. The passion for protest can turn into a passion for changing all of our behavior to create a better, safer, just, sustainable world.
Waking up to an empty bedroom, my house is a mess, my mind's not the best. Trying to recall what happened the day before, I remember you shouting to my face, you're such a bore. Is it my fault for being too pure, knowing little about love, always so insecure? You said, trust me, I know what's best. You walked away telling me we should rest. I would drive 2,000 miles just to see you, babe. At times, they can be very rough. hope that you see just about how foolish I can be to fall for your words over and over again. Oh, I can't describe what I'm feeling through this song. I hope that you see just about how foolish I can be to fall for your words over and over again. I would drive 2,000 miles just to see you, babe.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic in Let's Speak Indonesian is Periksa Dokter. Periksa Dokter, or in English, Seeing the Doctor. Next, I will give an example of a conversation entitled Periksa Dokter. Periksa Dokter, or in English, Seeing the Doctor. In the examination room, Kevin is asked by the doctor about his complaints of illness. Kevin has had fever and headache for 3 days. The doctor gave him a prescription.
Selamat siang.
Selamat siang, Pak Dokter.
Apa yang Anda rasakan pada badan Anda?
Saya demam dan merasakan sakit kepala 3 hari ini.
Apakah Anda muntah-muntah?
Tidak, Pak Dokter.
Saya akan membuatkan resep obat untuk Anda.
Baik, Pak.
Ini resep obatnya. Silakan Anda langsung ke apotek.
Terima kasih, Pak Dokter.
Sama-sama.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce his phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, Periksa Dokter, which means seeing the doctor. I will say this sentence twice and you can repeat after me. Apa yang Anda rasakan? Apa yang Anda rasakan? Which means, how do you feel? Apakah Anda muntah-muntah? Apakah Anda muntah-muntah? Which means, are you vomiting? Ini resep obatnya. Ini resep obatnya. Which means, here's the prescription. Silahkan ke apotek. Silahkan ke apotek. Which means, please go to the pharmacy. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Which means, thank you. Merasa lapar. Merasa lapar. Which means, feeling hungry. Buku saya hilang. Buku saya hilang, which means my book is missing. Di kelas. Di kelas, which means in class. Apa yang terjadi pada Anda? Apa yang terjadi pada Anda? Which means, what happened to you? Benda apa? Benda apa? Which means, what is it? Di atas mejamu. Di atas mejamu. Which means on your table. Ini adalah pensil. Ini adalah pensil. Which means this is a pencil. In the dialogue, there is a questions word apa. Apa. which means what or how. The question's word apa is used to ask about the state or condition of other person. Usually to ask about a situation or condition, apa is followed by a sentence that aims to ask. Example, apa yang Anda rasakan? Apa yang Anda rasakan? Which means how do you feel? Saya merasa lapar. Saya merasa lapar, which means I feel hungry. Apa yang terjadi pada Anda? Apa yang terjadi pada Anda? Which means what happened to you? Buku saya hilang di kelas. Buku saya hilang di kelas, which means my book was lost in class. In addition to asking about the other person's condition, the question's word apa is also used to ask about objects. Example, benda apa ini? Benda apa ini? Which means, what is this thing? Ini adalah bola. Ini adalah bola. Which means, this is a ball. Benda apa di atas mejamu? Benda apa di atas mejamu? Which means, what is it on your desk? Ini adalah pensil. Ini adalah pensil. Which means, this is a pencil. Before we end, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation one more time.
Selamat siang.
Selamat siang, Pak Dokter.
Apa yang Anda rasakan pada badan Anda?
Saya demam dan merasakan sakit kepala 3 hari ini.
Apakah Anda muntah-muntah?
Tidak, Pak Dokter.
Saya akan membuatkan resep obat untuk Anda.
Baik, Pak.
Ini resep obatnya. Silakan Anda langsung ke apotek.
Terima kasih, Pak Dokter.
Sama-sama.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
In April, the novelist Arundhati Roy wrote an essay entitled The Pandemic is a Portal, in which she argued that the pandemic presents us with an unparalleled opportunity to reimagine our future. Forrest Whitaker reads her words.
Whatever it is, coronavirus has made the mighty kneel and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could. Our minds are still racing back and forth, longing for a return to normality, trying to stitch our future to our past and refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink the doomsday machine we have built for ourselves. Nothing could be worse than a return to normality. Historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine the world anew. This one is no different. It's a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. We could choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice and hatred, our avarice, our data banks and dead ideas, or we can walk through it lightly. With little luggage, ready to imagine another world and ready to fight for it.
Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN.
There's a certain outrage for injustice right now in every sphere. I think we're at a moment where COVID perhaps has helped us realize that there is an intergenerational transition and that young people now are waking up to the calls that we've had from my generation, which have said, look, this is the opportunity you've got to make things change. And they are rising up and that we are bringing young people to the table now, not as a token, but to help us shape and to take that baton, to take up the gauntlet and to move forward. People fighting for justice, but fighting for your justice, not just mine. And to see that without your justice, mine won't be fulfilled either.
Thank you for the invitation here today to talk about my big brother. The world knows him as George, but I called him Perry.
In June, George Floyd's brother, Philonis, gave testimony to the U.S. House Judiciary Committee.
Yesterday, we laid him to rest. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do. I'm the big brother now, so it's my job to comfort my brothers and my sisters, Perry's kids, and everyone who loved him. And that's a lot of people. I couldn't take care of George that day he was killed, but maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain. To make sure that he is more than another face on a t-shirt, more than another name on a list that won't stop growing. I'm here to ask you to make it stop. George called for help and he was ignored. Please listen to the call ringing out the streets across the world. People of all backgrounds, genders and races have come together to demand change. The people marching in the streets are telling you enough is enough. The leaders, the people elected you to speak for them, to make positive change, you have the opportunity to make your names mean something too. If his death ends up changing the world for the better, and I think it will, then he died as he lived. It is on you to make sure his death is not in vain. I didn't get the chance to say goodbye to Perry while he was here. I was robbed of that. But I know he's looking down at us now. Perry, look up at what you did. Big brother, you changed the world. I hope you can rest in peace. With power.
After the genocide and destruction of the Second World War, the United Nations was founded. Enshrined in its charter was the fact that all people are equal and entitled to the same respect, justice, and human rights. This remains a simple truth, and yet across the globe, this struggle is still being fought. Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN.
The more we've seen poverty and inequality, hunger, conflict, the more we understand that it is about the person that could be left behind. And so it's really important that we don't leave anyone behind. And we ask ourselves, country by country, community, region, the world, who are the no ones? And they're defined in many different ways depending where you're coming from. And so, you know, discrimination, exclusion, all of that provides fodder for instability in the world. And we know that everyone has a right to a life of dignity.
Sebuah cinta yang bersemi, ku terlahir dan kau sambut dengan janji. Kan kau jaga tiap langkahku sampai nanti, harummu ku ingat terukir sampai kini. Marah atau bersedih,
pacarku untuk menjalani hidupku nanti. Bersamamu dunia akan ku arungi. Janjiku ku kan mengabdi sampai akhir hidupku kepadamu. Cintamu
still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, I will present you a Malay song entitled Rayuan Maut, sung by Eddie Silitonga. The song Rayuan Maut tells about someone's disappointment on his or her lover who left for the new one. In accordance with the lyrics, the song Rayuan Maut is the sad song that has slow tempo music. Interestingly, the last lyrics of this song are closed with proverb, lidah tidak bertulang, rayuan maut pastikan berulang. Means the tongue is boundless, seduction is too much conveyed. The song Rayuan Maut has many versions because it has been sung by many singers and rearranged in various music arrangements. Listener, let's listen to the song Rayuan Maut sung by Eddie Silitonga.
Sungguh tiada kuduga
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safiri Adela. See you on the next English program.